The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Palace Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And hope everyone is having a great evening. Your Monday night going well, and thanks for joining us as we look back at a Bears win over the Minnesota Vikings yesterday, 21-13 at Soldier Field, and look ahead to next Sunday's battle with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good evening, everybody. Jeff Joniak with the head coach, Mark Trestman. How you doing?
Doing good, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Nice to be here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Allis Hall. The Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's. Paul Pasqualoni, your D-line coach, will be coming along about 7 o'clock tonight to talk about the defense. But first victory in 35 days, so a great sense of relief, I think, for everybody involved. And just how they went about the business, really, from the day the week started in preparation for that game until the finish, and how it's being viewed and received as well. No one's, you know, going crazy. There's still some major work to be done.
No, we went over it all this morning, made the corrections, re-examined how we got to this point through the last week, just like you said. Just we kind of went through the chronology of the week and how we prepared for this game against the Vikings, and you know, we got to go right back at it on Wednesday morning and restart and recommit to putting a good week together.
So almost chronologically, you want to replicate it.
Well, I think that at least we've got a, you know, formula for how we handled ourselves last week, which was to, you know, we had to make a decision coming in on Wednesday that we were going to, you know, continue to do the things we needed to do that the coaches were asking them to do, and we needed the players to work together with the coaches to get it done. We did, and we made a lot of corrections this morning. We got some work to do, obviously, and we're going to go try to, you know, beat Tampa on Sunday. That's the job.
You know, you always ask, oh, what'd you learn about your players, what'd you learn about the team, but what'd you learn about your coaches?
Well, our coaches, you know, we went back to work, and we made a commitment that we were going to continue to teach them with enthusiasm, treat them right, and give them the best game plans possible. That's what they did on a very consistent basis throughout the week. Guys took it from there.
We touched on it yesterday a little bit when we got together, you and I, but, you know, 10-point deficit early on, and it's only human to think, uh-oh, but that didn't happen, it appeared.
Yeah, guys stuck together. We overcame penalties offensively, defensively. We overcame the fake punt. We're able to, you know, gain our composure, keep our composure, and just keep fighting one play at a time. That's what they did.
From a special teams perspective on that fake punt, or when any of those elements of surprise plays happen, how do you prepare for those?
Well, it's you do the best you can. You do it through scouting and field position. You try to take a look at what they're doing, and do they need to gain a possession or feel a necessity to gain a possession? You know, we didn't get it done on that particular play, no doubt about it. And it was a great learning experience for us. We were able to win a game, and it doesn't often happen when you fake a punt, gain a possession, and score afterwards.
Yeah, the interesting thing about special teams coordinators and coaching staffs, they keep things in their hip pocket for weeks. Maybe they will try something once the whole season. To me, it's almost impossible to figure out when that might happen or how it will be unveiled. To me, that's the biggest element of surprise
sure
in the game.
There are some parameters that you should be looking for. There were a couple of them there. I'll leave that to us, but overall, that is the case. It's you know, they're hit or miss propositions. There's a lot of them are based on analytics, so what you need to do to win a football game, and they did a nice job with it.
Offensive line was very good, and pass pro, you know, looking over the tape of the game, and especially on third downs, and Jay was able to go 9 of 11 on third down. Those pockets were clean. He was able to sometimes just hang in there, just stay on his spot, or climb, or move out a little bit to create a new window, especially on third down when I think the Vikings came coming into the game one of the top teams on third down sacks with 11 in the season, 11 of their 30 sacks. Did you find that as well when you looked over all the pass attempts yesterday? And there were 43 pass attempts.
Yeah, it started with our protection meetings during the week. We did a very good job, Pat and Aaron doing a real good job of setting it all up. Jay has a lot of issues to contend with in terms of the different fronts that they show us, multiple fronts, communication with Garza together, making sure we manipulated the protection to get the right guys blocked at the right time, and then the audibles that we used to get the ball out quickly to take some of the heat off the line and Jay during those moments.
All right, so your eyes wide open as Brandon and all your receivers, when there's man coverage like that, this is what you're asking for. And there was quite a bit of it yesterday. Brandon today said, hey, you know, it's nothing we haven't seen before this season, but the connections were clearly there, and they made the plays that not every game this season have been made. So they must feel like this is a great place to start and build from that game.
Well, it has to. I mean, this is what we've been trying to get to, this movement towards more explosive plays, getting our targets, you know, matched up to where we can get, you know, better than reasonable productivity from each of our guys, Matt and Elshon, Marty and Brandon particularly. But we still have work to do. We've got to turn all that yardage and all that explosion into points. We didn't do that yesterday. We left ourselves short on the field with points, and that's something we just got to continue to plod through. And if we have that kind of productivity statistically, time of possession, explosive plays, third down conversions, they have to lead to scores. And that's the next place we have to go.
Marquise Wilson's presence on the field, certainly he's young, he's raw, he's unknown. He only played 75 snaps a year ago, and this is his first play of the season. But do you think it reflected any of the coverage and give more room for Marshall and Jeffrey and Martellus and Matt? I mean, you get all five of them out there, that's your ideal scenario. And he can make plays. He made a couple catches yesterday, including one on third down.
Yeah.
Do you think he drew any coverage away from other guys?
Yeah. I think time will tell. Regarding that, Mike Zimmer does a nice job in the back end. They had a lot of different looks front wise and moved some people around. And as I said, Jay just did a good job of getting us in the right protection and kicking the ball at the proper time and to the quick stuff, as well as dropping back and making the plays up the field.
Whatever errors happen in the game, the bounce back, that probably is the gold star for what you want to see.
Yeah, we needed to put a good week of practice with a good football game, and it wasn't a game that will probably be our best along the way, but it certainly got us going in the right direction. We got a lot of work to do. We're not making it any more than it was. It was a good win at home. We're excited about the fact our fans got to see us win at home. We'd like to score more points, continue to play the kind of defense we did yesterday, be a little bit better on special teams, and just overall get better as a football team. And that's a starting point. But the guys know we got to go back to work on Wednesday and put another one together for the week.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Shotgun snap is back to Cutler. Late pressure on the blitz picked up from Smith. Going deep down the right side. Into the end zone. It is caught by Brandon. Touchdown, Bears. He beats Robinson to the ball. The Bears have scored and taken the lead.
That's Brandon Marshall's TD catch. One of two on the day gives the Bears their first lead. At that point, since week six, the play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at Chicago Bears Network Studios. Jeff Joniak and the head coach, Mark Trestman. On that particular play, I wrote down the quote, "I didn't see Brandon, but I knew where he was going to be," your quarterback, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, I did an outstanding job of looking off the defense and seeing everything that was going on and put in a place where Brandon can make the play.
And those contested throws all day long, they just made them, and it was impressive to see. Combined 18 of 27 targets, 225 yards, and three touchdowns. A stat line we grew accustomed to when things are going well.
Well, we said we wanted to try to, get more targets there and balance them out a little bit and give them a chance to make a play. It worked out yesterday. We've got to continue to work that way.
All right, offensive line, we touched on our first segment, but just talking to Kyle Long this week, they want the game on their shoulders. And that could mean many different things. It just doesn't mean, okay, run between the tackles every time. They want that responsibility. Was that conveyed to you? Do teams that have offensive lines with that constitution usually mean good things, that they want that responsibility?
Yeah, they're that kind of group. They want to be accountable to the football team. They spend a lot of time together, with not only on their own in their meeting rooms, but with the entire group. We do a lot of things together. So I think that's a very true statement.
The What was I going to say here? I lost my place. Sorry about that, everybody. Defensively, longest completion was 24 yards. So the idea of making a young quarterback play like a young quarterback, you're not always going to get that. But do you feel what happened yesterday, even though he did put themselves in a position where they could have, you know, tied the game with that touchdown and a two-point, but did you feel like at times you controlled him in that pocket?
I did. I thought we did with our ability to stop the run. They had one long run. Other than that, we were good stopping the run, and we got him in a position where we forced him to throw it from the pocket on third down. We were able to make him throw it underneath. We rallied to the ball and made a bunch of stops that way.
Was it one of your better tackling games of the year?
I thought so. I thought that we had guys run into the football, a lot of good looks on tape of our defensive line rushing the passer and then getting to the ball, turning and running to the ball. So I think that was the case. The guys you know, worked hard, did it together, and it was, again, a very good complementary football game in terms of you know, the three phases working together. The offense had the ball for 38 minutes. The defense was able to make two stops after turnovers. That's good complimentary football.
Well, you must have enjoyed watching an enthusiastic Jared Allen, because he was jacked up yesterday.
He was.
I think it spread through the whole line.
He was. I don't think it was just Jared, but certainly he was a key force in that. The guys played well. They hung together. They didn't let the adversity early in the game affect the next play and the next play. And that's what we talk about constantly, is just to continue to play the game and let the scoreboard take care of itself.
All right, let's talk about Matt Forte on the offensive side. Sixth highest total of his career in yards from scrimmage at 175. I know there's another record he set. There have been so many. I know it was set out today by the Bears, but I don't have it written down right now, something in context of the yards from scrimmage. Season high on 26 carries. But that comes in when you have the lead and you got 4 minutes to go in the game and you want that four-minute offense to really kick in. You work on that, right?
Yeah, we do.
That's a particular game. When do you work on four-minute offense?
We do a lot of it in training camp. We certainly review it periodically times, but there's certain rules that are in place for that. We got to stay in bounds. We got to make sure we don't hold. We got a lot of different things. We follow the ball and do those kinds of things. But, you know, I think what Matt got yesterday was obviously some vicious runs, no doubt about it, explosive runs. You could really feel him out there. But our eyes turn and his eyes will turn to the perimeter blocking by our receivers. A guy's finishing, offensive lineman finishing, great cutoff backside, some really good double teams along the way. And overall, just all 11 guys working together to make it work.
On the fourth down run on the 16-play drive, I mean, it was a tackle sweep. You had the tackle out, but the finishing blocks were by the receiver.
That's
17
right.
And 15
yeah,
were out there.
Right. We got we call them 1 and 2 blocks. They got to come down in the end. They got to come down on the second-level player, and then Bushrod wraps and kicks out. And all three of them had to do their job. Plus, up front, you got to get some cutoff blocks, too, so there's no penetration.
Working the edges in addition to going between the tackles, what does that do to a defense when you're stretching them horizontally and vertically with the passing game as well, and then still get those vicious runs inside that, you know, get a yard or two that could pay off later in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, there's a residual effect to all of that, no doubt about it, and you get some man-to-man coverage down there in the red zone. There's opportunities to get the ball outside, and we did that on a couple occasions yesterday.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Snap is to Cutler, looking left, being chased now. Pumps, rolling to his right, throwing into the end zone, adjusting to the ball, and catching it is Alshon Jeffrey. Touchdown, touchdown Bears!
And Alshon Jeffrey, pardon me, with his fourth catch, touchdown catch of the season. He is the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. His line was a good one, 11 for 135 yards and a touchdown. And that's an ad lib, right?
Yes, it was. It was a slant route, actually, that we had called. And Jay was looking the other way. He had an individual cut to Brandon. Brandon got doubled on the play, so Jay went out, extended the play, and Alshon took off for the end zone. Jay saw it and made a back shoulder throw on the run, going to his right, and being mindful that he was probably just a little less than a yard behind the line of scrimmage amidst it all. So great composure by Jay, a great location on the throw, and good job by Alshon cutting off his defender and getting the PI as well.
What do you like better, when something is designed and executed beautifully for a touchdown, or the ad lib, okay, let's play a little street ball here, you run past the car, make a right at the fender, and hit the Volkswagen, and I'll get
just like touchdowns.
You just and you never can have enough of them.
Can't have enough, and we need more.
Yeah, absolutely. But do you feel you're on the right track to that?
You know, I think that yesterday was a lot. There was a lot of good things, but we still to get to where we want to go and the team we want to be. We can't start like that. We can't have penalties that stop the flow. There's nothing that Minnesota did defensively to stop us in the first drive. We stopped ourselves. We stopped ourselves defensively from not making the stop or giving ourselves a chance with a pre-snap penalty and a big run defensively. And those are things that we can control. And we're not going to be the team we want to be until we get that stuff taken care of. So we're serious about it. And as we move forward, but as we told our team during the week, there's a very good team in the room. We got to do it weekly and daily to be able to get this thing done, and that's all we're focused on doing. And daily means right now daily preparation for Tampa Bay.
There's really no, I mean, we could talk. You've been asked about it a lot anyway, but is there any? There's no magic elixir here for quick starts, is there? I mean, you just got to go out and do it. Or, yeah. I mean, do you have experience with teams that have had repetitive slow starts where they dig a bit of a hole?
Yeah, the disturbing thing has been that the starts, offensively have been disrupted by us, and we can control that. So we just got to continue to press on and move forward. It's evident that the guys believe in themselves in terms of how they approached yesterday's game. They didn't let the score get to a place where they weren't going to continue to move on to the next play. And they fought through it, and they did it collectively with good complementary football.
Is there an adrenaline rush on going for it on fourth down? Just to make the decision to do it?
No, most of these decisions are made previously, Jeff. We don't pull these decisions out of our pocket at that time. We've spent time talking about them in game management meetings and talking to coaches so everybody understands. There is a ripple effect with these emotional decisions when coaches don't understand why they're being done. We do all we can to inform the coaches and talk through these situations so they know why we're doing them, so they can prepare for the next call, regardless of the result.
Almost 100% of the time, players would love to go for it on fourth down.
Sure, they would.
Do you ever get in a situation do you lean toward their enthusiasm for doing it at a time in a game where maybe it's beneficial to do it?
In most cases, you try to do you're making decisions what's best for the team. Certainly there's some heart and some, intangible aspect to all these decisions, but most of them are made with the best interest of the team and made, far in advance generally.
All right, it's going to be a big discussion week, obviously, because of the circumstance with Lovie and the Bucks coming in. What do you think it will be like here in the building? Because for them, while that's all conversation, that first snap, all of it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, we're playing the Tampa Bay Bucks, who are coached by Lovie Smith. But at the end of the day, we got to focus on how we're going to do our assignments, our fundamentals and techniques, moving the football, stopping the football, protecting the kicker, and returning kicks. I mean, that really is it, and all the other things that go with that. That's where our focus will be, and we really can't wait to get started on Wednesday.
Well, the one thing, you got to block Gerald McCoy. That's
yes, we
the
do.
Fact.
Yes, we do.
That is an outstanding football player, isn't it?
Yes, he is. He's a great penetrator. He's got a high motor. He does everything that you need to do with a three technique to be able to play the defense that they're playing, and they've got a three technique that can do that in McCoy, and they've got an excellent will linebacker as well.
Monte David?
Yes.
All right, with the size that these guys, your corners, I keep saying these guys, but your guys, Timmy Jennings and Kyle, and all the guys that I deal with every day, mm-hmm. will that help them on Sunday, or is each receiver?
No, I think that's got to help them, and we faced some big receivers over the year as well, so we've got good practice, and that's really the way the league's going. Certainly, our guys get the work every day against the receivers, and that certainly is a benefit for us.
Yeah, and Josh McCown, obviously a heck of a teammate. Everybody has admiration for him, but he'll be here to try and beat you on Sunday.
Yeah, he's just playing quarterback for Tampa this week, and we'll go out there, we'll respect him, but we gotta get our game plan right, and he happens to be the quarterback this week, and And we got to do everything we can to stop the Tampa Bay offense.
All right, Mark, good luck. Have a good week
of
preparation.
Thanks for having me on tonight.
Hey, you're always welcome. Coming up next, Paul Pasqualoni, the Bears defensive line coach, joins the program.
Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Jodier.
Bridgewater in the gun. McKinnon on his right hip. He's got a receiver top of the field. Cordero Patterson back to throw. Bears doing it.
He's inside, and down he goes. Hit from behind. Jared Allen knocks him down and sacks Teddy Bridgewater against his old team.
Jared Allen with a very strong pass rush day as the Bears get the win over the Vikings. And welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak, pleased to be joined by Bears defensive line coach Paul Pasqualoni. And boy, did he play with some fire yesterday, didn't he?
He really did.
He expected it, too.
Yeah, he really did. He played, I think the entire group, Jeff, played with a lot of energy. You know, they all did. They were covering for each other. We were determined that we were not going to let them out of the pocket, that we were going to try to keep them in the pocket, close the lanes, collapse the pocket, and make them throw it out of a phone booth. And I think for the most part, all the guys did a really pretty good job. And Jared and Willie Young kind of led the way there on the outside.
Jared could have had several more sacks,
yes,
too.
Sir.
Made some tackles, but a yard here. You know, that's crazy. For a guy who's made a career of having just literally hundreds of sacks, not getting it, but getting the guy down, it's like a bittersweet moment, right?
Yeah, it's the first play of the game. You know,
yes, exactly.
The first play of the game was a one-yard gain, and they're out on the field. They thought it was a sack. We got him over the sack line.
Bad news, fellas, son.
Bad news. That was a one-yard gain, fellas.
But you know, he's made it clear that, you know, he doesn't stress about it. The numbers in terms of that aspect of his game are not showing right now. But it's everything else, and he wants to be known. Hey, just don't pencil me in as just a sack guy. He is one of the premier sack guys in football history, but he wants to be known as an all-around guy. And I love when I hear pass rushers say that. Some don't. Some
right.
Just, hey, I'm going to get the quarterback. That's it.
Right. He, Jared, to his credit, is doing a great job against the run. You know, he really is setting what we call the vertical edge on the tackle. He plays against big people, you know, every single week, he and Willie. And in order for us to have good run defense, those defensive ends have got to do that. And Jared buys in completely to the notion of let's play well together. Let's play as a unit. And at the end of the day, the hits on the quarterback, the disruptions, the sacks will be there.
When you talk about Bridgewater staying in the pocket, keeping him in the pocket, do you want young quarterbacks to prove to you first they can make a play from the pocket in order to make sure they don't leave the pocket? They
yeah.
have to learn how. I mean, if you don't make that play in the NFL, you're going to have some problems.
Right. I think that what you look at as a coach, you know, how good is he from the numbers to the sideline? Can he beat you with those throws, which are difficult throws to make? And if you can make quarterbacks, regardless, throw it off their back foot and don't give them space to slide up in, into, you know, some of them are awfully, awfully good with sliding around in there. They just feel the space and they can keep their eyes downfield. They know where everybody is and they just keep moving and they buy a little bit more time. And that usually is a problem. That's usually disaster. You know, the better the quarterback, and we know that,
yep.
You know, we know that, you know,
we've seen the very best.
We've seen the very best. You know, we've lost three games. We've lost six games and three of those losses were the two of the greatest quarterbacks that have played this game who are outstanding in the pocket and very hard to get the pocket to collapse on those guys. But at the end of the day, that's what you want to do is a defensive line unit. You want to collapse it. You want to disrupt it. And you want to run them down.
The Bears Coaches Show with defensive line coach Paul Pasqualoni and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Shotgun snap is back. Bears are bringing heat. Willie Young hits him in the chest, and down he goes. Sacked by Willie Young, and the fisherman giving his thing. And a sack for the Bears of 5 yards by Willie.
Yeah, doing his thing was ice fishing, apparently. You get a kick out of that stuff? Paul Pasqualoni
well.
With us.
You know, I get a kick out of the sack.
Yeah, but not the celebrations,
well,
right?
No, I couldn't figure out what he was doing there for a second. Then somebody said he was ice fishing.
He was ice fishing. He is a treat.
Yeah.
You know, your room,
great guy.
Your
yeah.
room has, you know, you got the veterans that are on, you know, the final days of their career, so to speak. You got the young kids. You got the seriousness of a Jeremiah Ratliff, the jocularity of a Willie Young, who just puts it right out there. He's got that southern accent to him. He's fun to talk to. You got Jared Allen, who's full of energy. What a unique room.
Yeah, it's a
Are
great
you lucky?
Room. Oh, yeah, very lucky. And they're all great guys. That's, Jeff, that's the key. You know, and the two young guys are great to work with. You know, Eagle and Will are just two real good young guys. Corny, I love Corny Washington. He's got so much talent, you know, so explosive and so fast. David Bass is a real technician. You know, he's a technique guy. Had a great rush. That last rush in the game is a heck of a play now. You know, you talk about important rushes. He's right in Teddy Bridgewater's face on the hump. You know, got the tackle up the field and come back across his face. He was right there. So that was important. And Brandon Dunn's a great young kid, you know, on the practice squad for us. He's in the room, too, so he's terrific.
Do you like having that texture in the room as a coach?
Yeah, absolutely.
Does it make every day feel new and invigorating? Because you've coached a long time.
Yeah, no, it does. It really does. And you like having the older guys so the younger guys can learn a great deal. You know, I always thought that, you know, when I started coaching in this league, the first real pro I coached was Greg Ellis. And we had DeMarcus Ware. We had just drafted DeMarcus Ware. And we had Greg Ellis, who had been in the league for 10 or 12 years, you know, Pro Bowl pass rusher. So, really, Greg Ellis really helped DeMarcus a lot and helped me help DeMarcus as we were working in Dallas just to learn how to get off the ball and rush the passer. So, when you have that older guy, those older guys like we do now in the room, Jeremiah and Jared, I consider Willie to still be a young guy. Lamar Houston and Willie Young to me are young guys, and I tell them that. And they concur. Yes, Coach, we are. We're a little younger.
So the age is not the point. The point is that maybe I haven't reached where they're going to reach.
Right. Absolutely right. And so to have the older guys in there, you know, leading the way and showing the guys how to get it done, techniques and fundamentals, and what happens on the field. Because what's going on that field is sometimes very hard to replicate, you know, in practice. The speed and the intensity, the physicality of it.
How can you replicate Jeremiah Ratliff on a practice day?
That's exactly right. Well, we try.
Yeah.
You know, we try. But having those older guys kind of helps you a lot.
Did you get a sense last week, though, during the course of the week, that maybe something different was going on?
Well, here's the thing, you know, and I said this to the guys during the week. We work awfully hard. We have a process we go through. You know, what we do on Wednesday, we do. The information they get is first and second down, and they get a ton of information. We watch a ton of film. Thursday is the third down day. They get a ton of information, matchups in the pass rush, cut-ups on every offensive lineman, how the backs block, pocket tape on the quarterback, what's he like in the pocket, which way does he like to go, on and on and on. And then Friday we go short yardage goal line, coming out in 2 minutes. So we have this process we go through, and it's a routine, and I like it. I think the guys like it, and we grind it out every single week. So I felt last week was as good as week as we had, but I felt we had a great week the Green Bay week and a great week the New England week. It just didn't work out that way. But last week was, you know, last week in a game yesterday was a lot of fun to be involved in.
Yeah, really start to finish, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
This Sunday's game is brought to you by Chase, the official bank of the Bears. The first 30,000 fans to enter Soldier Field receive a Bears Chase scarf, and you can listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Sports Authority Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. How do you preach patience to guys who want to go and get the quarterback but just can't quite get there, down in, down out over the course of a game, and then acknowledging the fact that maybe one sack in the fourth quarter at a key moment may be the difference maker?
Yeah, you're 100% right. You know, our society is immediate. You know, everybody wants everything. It's like the microwave society. Throw it in the microwave, put it on 10 seconds, and it's done. Well, what I tell the guys is, greatness didn't happen overnight. Anything that's great, I promise you, did not happen overnight. I'm a believer in the 10-year, 10,000-rep rule. And it's reps, it's reps, it's reps. It's due diligence. It's technique. It's attention to detail. You know, on Willie's sack, the tight end gave him a little bit wider split. And we had talked during the week, if he got out that wide, Willie, maybe you jump inside the guy and you hit it. Well, attention to detail. You know, he saw it. He got lined up. He hit it on the snap of the ball, and he made a great play. So you can't play the game worrying about how many sacks you're going to get. You really can't. As I say to the guys all the time, let's just play for 60 minutes. Let's work hard, and at the end of the game, the sacks will be there.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And our final segment out of the Bears Coaches Show, we'll hear from Mark Trestman here in just a moment, and the Chicago Bears Network presenting Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Remaining moments with Paul Pasqualoni. We didn't touch on Stephen Paya, and he was very excited about this season, given, you know, his respect for the game. His journey to the United States is a well-documented one now, but, you know, it's almost unbelievable to him that he's playing this game. And as he told us for our Bears game night game day live show, just chasing the American dream.
Yeah.
And he's chasing something much bigger than that.
Yes.
You know, a career in the NFL.
Yeah, just a great guy. You know, a great family guy. You love everything about him. You know, he comes into meeting. He works hard. He doesn't say very much. Takes a lot of notes. He studies. He's on top of things. He's looking in his iPad. He's going through the game plan. He's going through the tips and reminder sheets.
Where have you seen him jump in terms of what specific aspect of it?
Well, he's upper body. He's strong. You know, he's got what I call weight room strength. He's got big numbers on the bench, big numbers on the squat, big numbers on the clean. So when he puts his hands on people in the game, he stops them. You know, and we're more of a hands team than we are a shoulder team. And that fits very, very well for Steven because he is powerful and he's strong and he's got a good base and he's got what I call good contact balance. You know, when they hit him in there, and oftentimes at the nose position, there's two people hitting you. It's a tough way to make a living, you know, every snap with 200-300-pound guys coming off the ball trying to knock your head off, you know. So he's done a really good job. I think he has really improved his explosiveness in the concept of rushing in the pocket. He's becoming a very, very good guy in the pocket. Collapse in the pocket, mirroring the quarterback, in executing what I call mirror the throwing hand of the quarterback in the pocket, which means when the quarterback starts to move around there, you got to have somebody in front of him getting ready to get his hand up to tip a ball. Now, if you go back through the season, Stevens had some pretty big tips on third down. You know, he's had some pretty big PBUs, passes defended or passes broken up, you know, as a defensive lineman. So he's really zeroed in on his entire game, the run game and rushing the passer as well.
All right. Well, we wish we had more time with you. I wanted to get into Tampa, but we're out of time. We just know every Sunday's a unique battle. So
that's it.
Good luck.
Thanks, Jeff.
Paul Pasqualoni, the Bears defensive line coach.